Blog Talk Radio.
When you're down and troubled and you need some love and care and nothing is going right.
So when you're down and troubled and you need some love and care and nothing's going right, does that sound like you? From Los Angeles, a big LA welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I am Dave, the caregiver's caregiver, coming to you globally through the world-famous worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network. Try saying that fast three times. Yes, folks, I'm the guy who's going to help you and guide you through this very difficult journey called caregiver burnout. And we're going to do our very best to help you avoid all of the obstacles that will keep you from avoiding that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout. And I say this on every single show because it's so important. When you don't put your oxygen mask on first, just like the airlines tell us, you know, when you go on the plane and they start talking and we tune them out, let me remind you what they say. They say, in the unlikely event of a loss of cabin pressure and the oxygen mask falls down from the ceiling, please put your mask on first before you attempt to put the mask of your small child on. And folks, caregivers are the same way. The reason for that silly little rule is that the airlines know that you will most likely black out if you don't do what they tell you to do. Mm-hmm. And then you won't be of any help to anybody. Now, we also talk about loss here and the devastating effects that it can have on us. It automatically throws us into this thing called the grief process, which we will be talking about today. The only way out of the grief process, folks, unfortunately, is to go through it. And hopefully we will help you do that if you feel like you're stuck. Well, I'm so excited today because we have a very special guest calling in today, Jan DeFelicis. She was actually scheduled to be interviewed, and we're just kind of shooting from the hip here, playing it by ear, because she was having some severe pain in her side last night that forced her to be admitted to the hospital, and then they sent her home, and then this morning she went back because she was having that pain again. At the moment we are speaking, she is currently on morphine and just trying to relieve her pain. Her son, Tony DeFelicis, otherwise known as Anthony DeFelicis, try saying that fast three times, has graciously agreed to go ahead with the interview in her place just because of how urgent the timing is of this and this being the latest attack of pain for Jan. Jan has been fighting cancer for a while, and she has been winning. However, it's like watching a Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier fight. You know, she'll win a round, and then she'll lose a round. She'll go down for the count, and then she'll get up, and it's kind of exciting, but we feel for her so much because pain is not a good thing. And we're going to be talking to Tony here. I believe he's at the hospital in the ER room, so you might hear some background noise. And they just gave Jan a dose of morphine, so hopefully we can get a few words out of her before she goes into la-la land. So let me say we've got opportunities to call in. And if you know Jan or you're a friend of Jan, we want you to call in. That call-in number is 213-943-3630, 213-943-3630. And just see if you can encourage Jan as if she needs encouragement. She encourages everybody. And I just got through talking to her a little bit, and she sounds up considering the pain that she's going in and the ordeal that she's going through. She's an amazing woman. She always talks about how my wife encourages her because my wife had a stroke and hasn't spoken in 18 years and paralyzed on the right side. And she just says, every time I think of giving up or being tired, I just think of Charlene, and it just motivates me. And I get up and I say, quit feeling sorry for yourself. Jan, look what Charlene goes through every single day. So, you know, we really love Jan. Anyway, try not to crack up here. We will attempt to take some callers, and there is a if you dial the number 1 on your keypad, that tells me that you want to talk. If you're just calling in to listen and you don't want to talk, then don't dial 1, because you can also connect through a internet connection. Now, let us welcome our guest, Tony DeFelicis. Are you there, Tony?
Hi, Dave. How you doing? I was enjoying that Carole King tune before you interrupted.
Me too. That is my favorite song of all time. And I don't care who sings it. It's great. It's like pizza. So where are you? Give us an update on the last 24 hours, if you could.
Well, Mom was experiencing some abdominal pain yesterday, and so we took her to the hospital and found out, unfortunately, that the ovarian cancer that she's been fighting for the last 4 years and doing it victoriously had somehow spread now up in throughout her liver. And so that was not great news for all of us, and it was very difficult to hear in light of her situation. But they felt that if they could medicate her and she could go home, and then she could just deal with this with her chemo doctor. But unfortunately, after she rests really peacefully all last night, this morning she got up to eat, and then she experienced waves of the most excruciating pain that she's ever experienced in her life, about an hour long, off and on. And when they hit, it was really difficult, you know, as her son, just to watch her going through this kind of pain and not being able to do much about it. But we felt it was necessary to bring her back to the hospital. And so we're back here. She's sitting right next to me. Actually, she hasn't had her second morphine shot, so you could talk to her right now before it comes. She's going to be released right now. It's funny how this whole timing came. You know, she's about to be released, and she knew she wanted to be on the show, and yet, you know, doctors are coming in and out, and we didn't know how the timing's going to work. But she's here, and I'll let you talk to her a little bit, and then I can tell you.
Yeah, put her on. Put her on.
Okay, here's okay. It's Jan.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Jan. I'm so happy that you are able to get on my show, despite all the obstacles and circumstances that have kept you from doing it. Tell us something about how you're feeling right now.
How am I feeling? Well, at the moment, I have a little bit of pain on the right, but much better than this morning. Let me tell you.
We're so grateful. We have so many people praying for you, Jan. You are such a warrior.
Thank you. So, anyway, it's been your shows about caregivers.
Caregivers, burnout, and the grief process. And you're a caregiver also, if the people didn't know. So you got like double, triple whammy here.
Yeah. My husband and I have been back and forth. He got cancer in 2002, and I was his caregiver while he had colon cancer. And then about a month later, I found out I had lung cancer. So then I told him when he said he was sorry I had to take care of him. I said, well, no, you may give her for me. And sure enough, with my lung cancer, he passed to Alzheimer's.
Wow. Yeah, I know. I want to tell the audience, you know, Jan and Gus, I've known them for years and years. We went to the same church, I don't know how many years ago, at least 20, maybe longer. And Gus is an amazing guy. And Jan and Gus both have an amazing story. And I think maybe, Tony, this would be a good time to talk about the foundation of faith that basically Gus and Jan, when they first met as young people, and they dated and they married, and they Jan got pregnant. Something terrible happened. They got into an automobile accident that they were leaving a party, and it was late at night, and Gus, unfortunately, maybe closed his eyes for a second, fell asleep at the wheel, and his foot went down on the accelerator pedal, and the next thing you know, it was like a Chevy Chase Vacation movie. The car was doing like 85 miles an hour, and Jan was kind of freaking out, and she opened the door and considered her options, and she decided, you know, I'm just going to roll out and maybe I can save myself best that way. So that's what she did, and she rolled and rolled and rolled, and that car just kept going 85 miles an hour, hit fences and God knows what before it came to a rest, and she saw her husband and tried to get up, but she couldn't. Her body just wouldn't work. And so at that point, she was rushed to the hospital. They were both rushed to the hospital. And I'm just kind of paraphrasing this letter because it's a very long letter, and I want to pull the best out of it here. The impact caused her to have two broken hips, I believe, and she was in bad shape. She was in traction for 3 months, and when Gus came to, you can imagine the grief and the guilt and the self-condemnation that he was under. Now, Jan was pregnant at this point. I think she was 3 months pregnant. And so not only did the doctors tell her that there was a very good chance that she would never walk again, but also that it would be unlikely with all the x-rays and all the things they were doing her to her that the baby would probably not be born. She'd probably lose the baby. So she spent 3 agonizing months in the hospital in traction. And again, the doctor said she would never walk. But you know Jan, if you know Jan, she is a fighter. You want her to do something, just tell her she can't do it. She knew her God was strong in faith, and she never doubted that she would walk again. And she believed that God would save her baby too. And I'll tell you, the good news is 6 months later, not only was she walking, but her baby was born, and it was a healthy baby, and it just happens to be Tony, who we're talking to. Tony, I think we lost him. I think we lost his cell signal. So until we get him back, and Tony, if you can hear me, just text me that you're back on the line, and I'll look for you. So let me keep reading this letter. Well, Dad's wife was healed, and they had a healthy baby and enjoyed the goodness of 2 more children that followed, as well as now celebrating the lives and the hope of many grandchildren to come. Dad also dedicated his life to youth and coached 100 youth sports teams in a span of 50 years. All the while, Mom was right by his side, loving him, supporting him year after year, sacrificing vacations, and she became the team mom, the team manager. She did this for more teams than she can even count or remember. Together, they were and still are one fabulous team. So it's been some 57 years since this tragic car accident took place and almost 60 years since this couple was married. Mom, in the past year, Jan, has been battling ovarian cancer, as we told you, and once again, with her strong faith and with the help from medical professionals, she has surprisingly been winning this war against this killer. All the while, Dad, with painful and weak knees, continues to love and adore his beautiful bride, serving her with the same passion and concern that he did when she was released from the hospital back in 1957. And this is Tony's Mother's Day miracle story. He wouldn't be here, and he wouldn't be alive on this planet if it wasn't for this miracle. Throughout his life, his mother shared with him on many occasions these words, "God has a reason and a plan for you being here. When you find yourself hearing negative voices that tell you what you can't or cannot do, what you need to do is always have faith and believe that God can accomplish the impossible. He's done it for me in my life," she says, "during huge seasons of challenge and trial, and he will do it for you too. The Lord is the reason you are here." So he just went on to say, "Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Your life and faith has inspired Dad, me and our family, and so many people. And perhaps through this true story, you just inspired one more person never to give up." And with that, I'm going to take a break because we got to figure out what's going on and how we can get him back. So we will be right back.
Listening to Dave Nassani, the caregiver's caregiver, on Blog Talk Radio, where each week we talk about surviving the grief process and avoiding caregiver burnout. We'll be right back.
One day at Chevy's, Peter saw Carlita eat a fajita, and he needed to meet her. From then on, nothing could be sweeter than seeing Carlita and Peter seated for a Chevy's fajita. Grilled over mesquita, Carlita and Peter were Chevy's fajitas repeaters, not retreaters. They'd eat a fajita on the street, or for fun, on a totter teeter. With a Cuervo gold margarita, Carlita succeeded to eat a Fuego Habanera fajita on a parking meter. But Peter'd eat a tequila-fired chicken fajita only while seated. He was discreeter than Carlita with his fajita. But one day, on his way to meet her, Peter rode a speedy cheetah with a San Antonio steak fajita for his beloved Carlita. He needed to feed her. And so, as Carlita and Peter repeatedly conceded, "Mamacita, you just can't beat a Chevy's fajita." Come into Chevy's today for an Eater Fajita Fiesta. Chevy's, viva la fiesta. And don't forget to eat a fajita with a Chevy's Cuervo Gold House Margarita. Nothing could be neater.
Welcome back to Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, Avoiding Burnout and Surviving Grief, with Dave Nassani on Blog Talk Radio. The whole purpose of this show is to help support you in your caregiving responsibilities so that you don't burn out, because your loved ones are counting on you. Join Dave and his guests now as they resume their discussion.
All right, then we're back, and we have Tony on the line. I found him. He got cut off. You know, cell phones and hospitals is just not a good combination. Tony, did you hear all that?
Yes, I did. I heard it all.
Did I get the story right?
That was pretty close. My dad fell asleep at the wheel, and they were going about 85 when he hit a dip, woke up, and they saw a telephone pole in front of him, and he made a sharp left-hand turn, and the impact of the back of the vehicle hitting the telephone is what jarred the door wide open and just swept my mom out. So she was just flew out of the car, and then Hank held onto the door for dear life, and the door was, you know, moving in and out, and then she finally thought she might be thrown under the vehicle and then just let go and then rolled to her position. And then, yeah, you're right, more or less they were both taken to the hospital, and she was there for 6 months, or three months or more, the doctors thought she would never walk and said that I'd probably not make it, and I did.
Wow. Oh, my gosh, I left out the best drama part of her swinging from the door. That's amazing. So, I mean, when I heard that story, and I know they told it to me before, but I must have forgotten it because it's such an unbelievable story. I know she had an amazing story of fighting for her life, but when I heard this story again, I just said, you know, it all makes sense now. This is a woman with strong faith, a strong foundation of faith. You know, when you build a house, the foundation is the most important thing. These skyscrapers that go up, the only way they stay up there is if that foundation goes deep. And your mother's foundation of faith is deep, I'm telling you. She's seen so much. There isn't too much that she cannot believe for. And look at how far she is and how long that she has conquered this cancer. So, I mean, I'm putting my chips on her. I'm sorry. But I don't think she's down for the count, you know. It ain't over till the fat lady sings, as they say.
He told me throughout my life that God had me here for a reason, and it was a plan for me being here. And then she said, basically, when you hear negative voices that tell you what you can't do or what you can't become, always have faith and believe in God, because he can accomplish the impossible. And, you know, he really has done that in both our lives. And, you know, I don't know how much longer my mom has, but she certainly is still giving and loving and impacting lives, and she'll be here as long as God wants her here. And you know, when He does take her, she'll still have a legacy and an impact that she is giving to me, my family, and friends.
Absolutely, you know, and I keep forgetting that she's a caregiver. I just keep thinking that she's a cancer survivor, because every time we see her, it's like nothing's wrong. She's got a smile on her face. She reminds me of my wife, you know. You look at my wife or pictures of my wife or videos or you meet her in person, I've seen her speak to strangers for 20 minutes before they realize that this woman cannot speak because, you know, 85% of communication is nonverbal and she's got all the other stuff down. She's got tonalities. She can say, you know, maybe 4, 5, 6, 7 words. She touches. She communicates with her eyes, her body language. Jan is the same way. You would never know this woman had cancer or that she was an overworked caregiver. Anyway, how's she doing? I'd love for her to give us some tips on how she avoided caregiver burnout while she was being Gus's caregiver. Is she still coherent?
Yes, she is. Oh, she's right here. Hold on.
Can she hear what I'm saying?
Yes, I hear you, Dave.
I must be on speakerphone, huh? So tell us about your caregiving responsibilities, Jan. Let's just turn the focus away from cancer for a while because it doesn't deserve much attention as far as I'm concerned. Cancer gets way too much attention.
Well, I just never doubted what I could or could not do. I always believed that I could do anything through the Lord would help me. So I did become a caregiver for my husband who had a stroke first, and then he had colon cancer, and now he has the starting of dementia, and
wow.
So that one is really, really challenging because you see a man in front of you and you expect more out of him than he is capable of giving.
Yep.
And that's a hard thing to learn, as you know, more than I know, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a learning process for me, a learning process of trying to be understandable and not get irritable when they can't do something you expect them to do. And so it's a challenge and learning.
For both of you.
Both, absolutely. And then you have, and he's such a lovable person. He's never.
Yes, he is.
Love for me. And he tells me all the time that he loves me. And several times a day. So,
he's just a big teddy bear, isn't he?
Right.
The nurse just came in, so I got to take the call
okay.
for a sec.
Sure. Let me ask you a question, Tony, because this is, it must be really hard on you watching your parents who were young and vibrant and did so much for the community. I mean, wasn't your father just honored a few years ago for all of his service to the Burbank community? Tell us about that.
Yeah, we both were inducted into the Burbank Athletic Federation Walk of Fame. And my dad was first as he coached 100 teams in 50 years. And
wow.
Basically really went... That's 3 times a year, you know, and for a lot of decades. And so,
wow.
You know, we as a family more or less sacrificed a lot of vacations for sports. But Mom served as a team mom or as a team administrator, and she probably was involved in more kids than she can even remember. I know that is. And so, yeah, together they were a huge force in the city of Burbank, and now they've found a little place up in Ventura where they're retiring next to the beach, so they've had quite a adventure together.
So let me ask you, it must be hard on you to see your parents deteriorate like this. And, you know, they talk about role reversals where the parent becomes the child and the child becomes the parent. And now you're kind of the parent and they're kind of depending on you. How does that feel?
Yeah, it's very challenging. My parents were active and my dad was very, very athletic and and physical, and mom would be there with him every step of the way. And right now it's been really challenging to see my dad. He should have surgery. He played softball till the man was like 77 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, you can believe it. And he slid first too many times. About 20 years ago, he should have had surgery on his knees, but he didn't have it done. And now, after his stroke, what happened is that he can't have the surgery he should have had 20 years ago. So he's really, you know, wobbly on his legs, other than being in great condition besides that. But it's just watching him become brittle, it's been tough. And then, you know, Dad went through colon cancer. My mom was victorious over lung cancer that we haven't even mentioned. Well, she had lung cancer.
Wow.
And she was, they're both cancer survivors. So
wow.
to watch them come to this place and watch my mom fighting something so serious that we thought she was, you know, 4 years ago, her from this ovarian cancer, her stomach was like a basketball. It was that.
Wow.
It was throughout her body. Cancer count was normal, was 50, and she was at 4,000. We didn't expect her to make it at all, really. And yet, here we are 4 years later. She's still battling, and you know, this news of yesterday about her having now liver cancer is obviously not good news at all. But, you know, we are rolling with it, and I find myself in a season of life where I can, you know, somewhat help and care for them right now. So that's
what
I'm doing.
Everything is planned in advance. You had mentioned that for the benefit of those listeners who have ovarian cancer, you were recommending that the ovarian be removed because back when she had it, they weren't doing that, and it's like a cancer magnet. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I was saying that I guess 20 years ago they were doing the hysterectomies and removing and leaving the ovaries in so that they wouldn't have to have synthetic hormone treatment. But the reality is that if you had a hysterectomy, if you're a woman that had a hysterectomy and you have the ovaries still in, get them taken out because they are cancer magnets. Now they remove everything, the ovaries along with when they do a hysterectomy. But back then they didn't, and it's a very dangerous situation. So if you know anybody.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if anybody knows of anybody in that situation, they need to let them know.
Now, of course, they say that the synthetic hormones cause blood clots, and that could cause stroke or heart attack. But it's a thing about choosing the worst evil here. Obviously, a magnet cancer might be worse than possible blood clots or anything like that. But just for the record, my wife has been on synthetic hormones probably over 20 years, and she's still on them now, and they don't even know why she had a stroke, because her stroke was a blood clot,
Dave,
that came out of her. Yeah. Oh.
We are actually being discharged from the hospital, so I'm pushing her through the hospital, and
well, we're
so
going to take a break.
I'll tell her
We're going to take a break, and we'll take some calls at the top of the hour, okay? And we'll connect with you again.
Sounds good.
Okay. We'll be right back.
Tune in to Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver program, every Saturday at 3:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network. The whole purpose of this show is to help support you in your caregiving responsibilities so that you take care of yourself first, so that you don't burn out, because your loved ones are counting on you to take care of them. And Dave Nassani should know. He's been a caregiver to his wife for over 19 years after she suffered a debilitating stroke that left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on her right side. After a 2-year grieving period, she came to the realization that she had to play the cards that she was dealt. And so she decided to reinvent herself and attempt to do all the things that she was famous for doing before her stroke, like gourmet cooking, hosting dinner parties for 12, interior decorating, sewing, and too many other hobbies and activities to mention here. She now basically makes us normal people look like whiners and complainers by continuing to do almost everything she did before her stroke. But in essence, she does it with one arm and one leg tied behind her back, and she might as well have duct tape over her mouth too, since she can't speak. And she does it all with her amazing positive attitude and smile. So what's your excuse for not playing the cards that you were dealt and turning those lemons into lemonade? Dave has been so inspired by Charlene's attitude that it inspired him to reach out to caregivers by writing 3 books and starting this radio program to make sure that caregivers have a place to go to get the support that they need in order to avoid burnout and to get through the grief process. Now get ready to learn how you can avoid burnout and survive grief. It's Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver here on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network. And here again is your host, Dave Nassar.
Hey, we're back. And, you know, Tony mentioned something really important for women who've had hysterectomies and your ovaries are still in there. Get those things out. They're like magnet cancers. Oh, I said that backwards. They're like cancer magnets. There we go. Does that mean I'm dyslexic? And great advice for us to learn from Gus as well. If you guys or girls, if you've got bad knees, you know, don't wait. Don't put it off. Do it now because you don't know what other medical conditions that you're going to have in the future that will prevent you from having that much-needed knee surgery. My aunt in Florida put it off and put it off, and finally she's doing it now, and she should have done it sooner. So let's take some calls because Tony is in transition. So let's go to this first caller and let's see what they have to say. Hello, caller. Can you hear me? Number ending in 4599.
Yes, that's me. Hi, Dave.
Who is this?
Debbie Martinson.
Debbie Martinson. Haven't heard from you in years, and look what it takes, a radio call to call up.
Yeah, but I follow you on Facebook.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Thank God for Facebook.
Yeah, I guess so. But
and
I've
been
just
following
so
you,
enjoyed,
too.
You have. Okay, good. Anyway, I just wanted to give my love and support to Jan and Gus and their faithful children. They have been a rock in our life, and I just love them both. And I love you guys, too. I'm sorry that, you know, the years have separated us, but because of the Lord, we can all be together, and I know that.
That's right.
My husband was also stricken with a stroke and cancer, and so.
So you're a caregiver as well.
Yes, I was. I was, and through that, I have taken care of 3 other people: one with pancreatic cancer, one with a brain tumor, and you know, it's all been cancer. It's just they need the love and support that some other people can't give them, and God gives you gifts, and we have to give back. And
yeah, you are a caregiver at heart, Debbie, obviously, and it doesn't surprise me that you've been caring for other people as well. I'd love for you to share some stories of how you have managed to avoid caregiver burnout, or if you've managed to avoid it, if you burned out, tell us about that and how you got out of it.
Well, I do believe it has strength of the Lord, because I really didn't know that I had this gift until, you know, my husband had his stroke, and then 2 years later he has cancer. But I really do believe that you have to take care of yourself, though, first. And make sure that you have enough rest so you're able to function and do the things that you need to do. So when you're in that situation, make sure you do that. You get rest and you allow other people to help you. You know, don't be afraid to ask for help. And I know when I was going through, you know, just the grief of losing Marty, the people that all my friends were praying for me, and I know that they walked me through it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a powerful thing. People don't realize how powerful the Lord is and what he can
Absolutely.
Do for you, you know. And I've seen it with you guys, you know, what you and Charlene, I mean, what a blessing that you are now to give to other people. And but you know, Jan is a warrior. She's just a spiritual warrior, and she always was one.
Tell us how you got through the grief process, because that's the other part of our show, you know, because it's not just the people who we care for. I'm sure when Marty had his stroke, you know, he definitely went through the grief process. You know, you're talking about denial, this isn't happening to me, and then anger, you know, where I know Charlene treated me pretty bad those first couple of years when she was dealing with anger, because like the Mills Brothers sang that song, you only hurt the ones you love, the ones you shouldn't hurt at all, but there's no one else to direct all that anger at. So talk about that, if you could.
Well, I think it is a process. It's definitely a process. There's highs and lows, and you find yourself days where you feel sorry for yourself, and then you think, well, you know, there's other people worse off than me. So I try to find the positive in everything, but I always was kind of like that anyway. I don't like negativity, and so when I would, you know, start feeling sorry for myself, then I'd say, well, you know, God has put me in a place. He's protected me. You know, I ended up losing my home, you know, financially. You know, I was able to sell it, but, you know, financially I couldn't handle it because now I have no income.
Yeah.
So I really couldn't really grieve for very long because now I had to reinvent myself. And so I keep saying, well, this is another chapter in my life. You know, God gave me... You know, God allowed me to be a princess for 25 years because Marty and I were married 25 years. And, you know, with my three beautiful boys, was able to, you know, go on. And they've been very, you know, they've been very supportive. If you don't have family, that's another thing. My daughter-in-laws are lovely and my grandchildren. And you know, they just are there for you. And so that's how you get through it, too, is and you put yourself out there. You know, you don't put yourself in a hole. You want to, you know, move on and make a better life for yourself. And because I didn't. I had no finances coming in. And so I have been, I've worked, you know, a skin salon as a receptionist, and now I have a job at the golf course up at DeBell, and I'm a marshal, and, you know, I'm around people all the time. That's another thing, is that you want to keep involved, you know. And
great advice.
That's the only way you can possibly live through, you know, tragedy. You have
Absolutely.
To keep yourself alive.
Absolutely. And Jan is on the line now, so now you can say hello. Oh, wait a minute. I know what the problem is. I'm unmuting the wrong one. I'm such a rookie here. Is
Can
that
you, hear
you
me
guys?
Now?
Hello. I'm
yeah.
so sorry.
Hello.
Tony's right. I am a rookie. All right.
I love you guys. Hi, Debbie.
I love you, Debbie.
I miss seeing you.
I miss seeing you, too.
But you are in our thoughts often. You're in my phone, so every time I scroll, I see your name and think of you.
Oh, I love you, and I love Tony. You know, I see him on Facebook, and I like things, and I see, you know, I get to see, you know, people that I miss, you know, good life,
uh-huh.
being busy, you know, at least,
yeah.
you know, it does keep you connected. So,
right.
But
Well, he does that for us because I'm not that computer savvy, so... He keeps us informed than others. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're going home, and I hope that they can control this awful pain that you're having, and know that I love you and I miss you, and I pray the best for you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Debbie. Thanks for calling. We're going to go to another caller.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Say hi to Gus.
All right. We have a caller ending in 3815. Who would that be?
That's Virginia Shun.
Virginia, welcome to the show. Welcome to the show,
Thank you.
Virginia. We
Jen just moved next door to me when they were newly married.
Wow.
We both got houses out in San Fernando in a new housing. You know, they were making all the adjustments that newly married people have to make. And I was there when she was going through all this after the auto accident. I lived right next door. I probably run them nuts running back and forth to see how she was because I worried myself to death all the time.
Well, that would make you a caregiver also, right?
Well, not really, but, you know, I just had to know she was okay.
You Jeff sound like a caregiver to me.
Well,
you know, there are over 100 million caregivers in America alone. That's one-third of the population. That means if you're not a caregiver, you know two caregivers in your immediate circle. So don't ever.
Cancer is a plague in this country. I've lost my mother, my father, my brother, and two husbands. Father of my children, we were married 46 years, and he had lung cancer. And I was alone 5 years, and then I married, and I was married almost 11 years, and he had leukemia.
Well, tell me, Virginia, you've had a lot of loss in your life. How have you dealt with this grief? And obviously, you've been going through the grief process, you know, the denial, the anger, the depression, you know, the bargaining, and how did you get to acceptance? Hopefully you are there, or are you still learning?
I just think that, of course, my dad was the first one that we lost, and that was very hard, and always losing your mother is terrible, but I always had faith. I always believed God had a plan for all our lives. And when you have a person you lose, that chapter of your life is over. You have to remember it, but you have to close the chapter and take care of the living.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. You know, the Bible even instructs Israel. He says, you know, when you mourn, you can mourn for 30 days or whatever, and then after 30 days, take your mourning clothes off, wash your face, comb your hair, and go back to living. And even funerals. Funerals are not for the dead. Funerals are for the living. But you're absolutely right. I thank you so much for calling, Virginia. We're going to take a break now. And
Friday.
We'd love to get some more calls. The number is 213-943-3630. I had to think for a minute there. 213-943-3630. And we will be right back.
Listening to Dave Nassani, the caregiver's caregiver, on Blog Talk Radio, where each week we talk about surviving the grief process and avoiding caregiver burnout. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Deborah, and this is how Wawa's new pancake sizzly changed my life. You see, first of all, I live with an ogre. To be fair, my husband isn't an ogre all the time, just when he wakes up hungry.
No.
And that's pretty much every morning. It always starts the same, growling, knuckles dragging on the ground, wanting to eat the pets. Oh, boy.
Can he make good food?
As you can imagine, all that ogreing created stress in our relationship. But then Wawa came out with a new pancake sizzly breakfast sandwich. A complete breakfast sandwich my husband could pick up fast at Wawa to snap out of the ogre mode. Just the thought of sausage and egg and cheese between two pancakes plus a cup of Wawa's award-winning coffee was enough to calm my husband's inner beast. So now, although my husband still wakes up in a foul, ogre-y sort of mood and smell, we quickly remedy it with a trip to Wawa for the new pancake sizzly and a cup of fresh coffee.
Eat pancakes to sleep now!
Or was that a cup of Joe? I forget. Hey, oh, it's time to go! Honey, put down that cat! Oh, every time.
You'll find the legacy of over 100 years of racing behind every Ford we build today. And tomorrow.
Welcome back to Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, Avoiding Burnout and Surviving Grief with Dave Nathani on Blog Talk Radio. The whole purpose of this show is to help support you in your caregiving responsibilities so that you don't burn out, because your loved ones are counting on you. Join Dave and his guests now as they resume their discussion.
Okay, we're back. And Tony and Jan, I assume you're still there, huh?
We are.
So at this point in the show, give me some reflections of what you've been thinking as you've been listening to some of your friends call in and some of the topics we've been discussing about grief.
Is that for my mom, me, or my dad?
It's whoever wants to answer. Hello, Gus. I didn't know you were...
How are you doing, Dave?
They said you were sleeping or something. I miss you so much, Gus. I miss the way you shake my hand and then you tell me like my ring hurt your finger. he does that to everybody. you're my godfather, bambino, my goomba. Yeah, anybody can take that question. Otherwise, I can move on to another caller. You know, we have the freedom to do whatever we want. You know?
I think it's great just for my parents to hear some dear friends.
Really.
Former, you know, friends. I mean, Debbie's in Burbank. I believe is. Virginia's out in Santa Clarita. And, you know, they're out here in Ventura. So it's nice for them to, you know, it's such a tragic situation. And yet God can use it to bring people together to touch hearts. And that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's take another call then. Let's see. I've got a number here ending in 2037. And who would that be? Can you hear me?
I sure can. I can hear you. My name is Pat Wise. I grew up in my teenage years next to Jan and Gus. And they are phenomenal people. Always Jan had her heart open to people, to bring them to Christ. She lived her walk. And Gus was the most awesome man I ever knew. He taught me what a man is supposed to be and how he's supposed to treat a woman. Mm. He raised beautiful boys and a daughter. Just wonderful, wonderful people.
Amen. I just agree wholeheartedly. So you were there when she got into the accident? Were you there that long ago?
Yes, sir, I was.
Wow. So are you a caregiver too,
Pat? When I watched her. I'm sorry?
So you're obviously a caregiver if you watched her in some capacity, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah. I watched her when she was pregnant with Tony, and they brought her home in traction in a hospital bed.
Oh, my gosh.
And my Gus. He saved his lunch money so that he could do something wonderful and special for his wife. And Jan's faith never wavered. She said, you know, I'm going to walk before this baby's born. And this baby was born and had a little gold halo on the top of his head. He was really a gift from God that struggled through all of her agony. And watched him pastor, and he's just, it's a family that everyone should have the privilege of knowing.
Wow. Tony, is Gus able to comment on the time that she was in traction and maybe what was going through his head at the time, or no?
Yes. Yeah. What went through your head at the time?
I'm not
traction.
Sure.
Talk to Dave.
Hello, Dave.
Gus, I was just wondering, you know, what was going through your mind as you watch your wife, you know, in that accident, going through traction? I mean, I'm sure you felt terrible and guilty, and share some of your feelings if you can go back.
Well, I was blessed that she was alive, because when I picked her up, she just says, "Oh, she can't move." And so then she told me, "Did I get the car?" And I said, "The car's gone. I gotta go get it." The keys were in the car, and so she told me, "Go get the keys." So I did. I went down there, and I got the car. So that was it.
And then when she was in the hospital.
Oh, yeah, when she was in the hospital, they said that the baby would be probably dead. And through the x-rays that Jan had and all that, and I thought I had killed her. And but
how did you get through that grief, Gus? How did you deal with that?
Well, I'll tell you, I can't forget it, but I did dream that dream many times at the wreck and all that. And I think I paid enough for that, and I still think about it, though, you know.
Yeah, well, that's...
Dave,
go ahead.
The house doctor came up to me and told me that Jack felt so guilty about the accident, and he said, "You're going to get tired, and you're going to be in pain, but don't blame him for it. Don't say, if you hadn't done this, I wouldn't be like this, because they thought he might regress, and because he did feel really guilty about it." So I tried to be uplifting for him during my recovery.
Wow. That's amazing. You know, guilt is something that can just eat us alive. You know, I have an analogy in my book, One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships, about guilt, how I liken it to a disposable diaper. You know, the poop is like the guilt. And you know, if we're feeling guilty, that you have to ask yourself, do I have an excuse? Do I have a legitimate reason for feeling this guilt? And if the answer is yes, then go fix it. Go apologize. Go, you know, do whatever you have to do to make it right, and then throw the guilt away like the disposable diaper. And then on the other hand, if the guilt is not deserved, if it's undeserved guilt, you know, let's say a Jewish mother is always dispensing guilt on her children, you know, unnecessarily, or we comically remember Red Fox, how he would always make his son Lamont do things by holding his chest, looking up to heaven and say, "Elizabeth, I'm coming for you, honey." You know, and
this is a big one.
So if that guilt is undeserved, and you have to really be honest about it, and if you're not 100% sure, ask someone else, say, "Hey, do I deserve to be feeling guilty about this?" And if the answer is no, then do the same thing with the diaper. Say, "You know what? I'm innocent of this. I'm going to throw this guilt away like the diaper." You do the same thing whether the guilt is deserved or undeserved. Deserved after you deal with it, and undeserved because you don't deserve it anyway. And some people live a lifetime of guilt, you know. Pat, I wanted to ask you if you remember Gus going through the grief, because obviously, you know, the mental and the emotional grief sometimes can be worse than the physical grief. What do you remember about that?
I do remember him suffering greatly, feeling the guilt and wanting her to get well. I remember the rejoicing when she got up on her crutches and walked next door. But in the meantime, and all of that, I watched Gus care for her, her emotional needs, her spiritual needs, her physical needs, and his sons. You know, soon after she was on her feet, she had a normal, healthy delivery with a beautiful baby. And so they had a lot to be thankful for, even though he was feeling so guilty. God gave him a healthy little boy. And Jan as well, she was able to walk and to do the things that, you know, she'd been able to do previously. But he was always there as a wonderful support system.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Pat, for calling in. We're going to take the next caller, and you take care of yourself. God bless you.
Guys. Love you, Jan. Bye. Love you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And since I'm a rookie, I hope I can find the next caller here. I'm going to try this 805 number. They didn't push the number 1 on their keypad, which tells me they want to talk, so I'm not sure if they want to talk. Let's see here. Hello, caller in the 1869 ending in. Is that you?
Yes, that's me.
Would you like to say something to Gus and Jan, Tony?
Yes, I would. This is Rena Clancy, and I've known Jan and Gus for about 7 years.
You sound like you're from Brooklyn, too.
I'm from Boston.
All right, that was close.
And to me, they've always made you feel like you're part of their family.
Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
If you needed something, they were there.
Yeah, even if you weren't Italian,
great
yeah.
People.
Yeah,
they're good people, and I hope to God everything goes good for all, both of them. Jan and Gus, I love you dearly.
We love you.
We love you, Rena.
Okay, honey, my prayers are with you.
Okay.
Thank you for calling. Are you a caregiver at all,
yes.
Rena?
Say it again.
Yeah. Are you a caregiver also?
Yeah, I took care of my sister-in-law, my sister, and my husband.
And have you ever had caregiver burnout where you just did too much, didn't take care of yourself first?
A little bit. Yeah, you do. You get to that point. But you get right back in.
All right. Well, thanks for calling. We appreciate it.
Hey,
Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
Yes, Tony. Yes.
My sister actually just drove down the boulevard here and saw us pulled over on the side and got out. And just the one who actually is responsible for all this, because she pulled him out of Burbank, said, if you come up to Ventura, I'll care for you. So she's got the job, and she's just done a wonderful job of just really ministering to my mom and dad. So if you want to talk to her, she's here too.
Yes. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So you're a caregiver, too. We got a lot of caregivers around here. Well, welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. I just love your parents. I adopt them as my own, and I know I'm not the only one. They've got a lot of kids.
Sure do. Yes. Dad's all in his sports and everything, and mom supporting him and all that. So, yeah, all over.
Truly a storybook love affair, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. Almost
it's
50
much,
years.
Much better than The Princess Bride.
Absolutely, yes.
Because it's the real thing. So what can you share? What can you share, Trina? That's your name, right?
Actually, it's Tristy. It's T-R-I-S-T. Yeah, Tristy. Like Christy, but Tristy.
I was
no
so close. I was so close.
It's okay. It's okay, John.
Oh, she's got a quick wit too. Touche.
It's, you know, over 10 years ago, mom and dad moved to Ventura, and that was a huge blessing. And then also, in the same, you know, token, and taking care of them has been a blessing, but it's also been very hard, of course, as you. I know, to take care of someone that, you know, especially younger, and thinking, you know, how young they are and full of life, in which they still do have that. And then just seeing, you know, dad go through his thing and then mom get her cancer. But it's been a blessing just to take care of them. And it's just basically full circle. I just so blessed, and they've taken care of myself and brothers as we're young, and now it's our turn to return that back to them. And had a hard time and a totally different time of life, but I wouldn't change it for the world, and I'm very thankful and to have the support of my brothers alongside of me. So
yes, and that is very important. My mother just went into assisted living from a nursing home because she also is coming down with the beginnings of Alzheimer's. You know, it started with some confusion and forgetfulness. And so my sister and I, thank God, she lives way up in Acton, and she's still, because she worked in NBC in Burbank. So between the two of us, you know, we've been caring for her as well. So my brother lives a little further away, so he doesn't see her quite as often as we do. But I had a guest on last week who talks about the Plan B caregiver, and they can be just as important as the primary caregiver, because sometimes the primary caregiver just needs a break, you know? And I had a woman on, a mother, 2 weeks ago, and she was just crying, saying, you know, when I was a young mother, because she was a caregiver to her elderly husband, this was many, many years ago, she just remembers crying because she was all alone. She was raising three small boys, and it was just hard. You know, I can imagine how Jan felt raising her two boys, because I heard boys are harder to raise than girls. And you know, Jan was a caregiver even back as a young mother, and those are the worst kind of caregivers because they don't get any appreciation. You know, it's like, well, you're a mother. You signed up for this. You know, do your job. Quit complaining.
Yeah.
But, you know, to be around small children day after day after day, she would have given anything to just, you know, go to Starbucks for 30 minutes. That would have meant the world to her. And for those of you out there, if you know some mothers with young children, you know, call them up. Say, hey, would you like to, like, get out of the house for 30 minutes or just take a one-hour Calgon, take-me-away bath for an hour? I'll come over and watch, you know, so-and-so. And it's really, really important. So, yeah, I'm right there with you. And it is hard seeing your parents become the child and we become the parent. It's just a total role reversal, you know. When I take her out to the Denny's to eat something, you know, it's like I have my little six-year-old grandson. You know, I've got to take her by the hand, and I've got to walk slow, and you know, I have to talk to her very slowly and make sure she hears me. And it's the circle of life, I guess, but I don't think I'll ever get used to it.
Yeah. It definitely puts things in perspective of just one day at a time, and for us to count our blessings and just the people that are around us to really enjoy them and truly what's important and how things can, you know, go in a blink of an eye.
Yes. Well, is there anything else you'd like to say, or we could take another caller if not?
Go ahead, that's fine. And just thank you for the time. Just I want to say I love my mom and dad and my brother Tony and Jean, and just give God all the glory for the blessings that they have given us.
So do you live in Ventura also? Obviously,
I
you
do.
Must
yeah.
if you...
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I was supposed to be up in Ventura this coming week, but it got postponed because our daughter, Debbie and Michael, Jan and Gus knows them from Emmanuel, once a year they get this beach house up there, and they graciously let us stay in it. They like property manager. And so it's been postponed a week, so we're going to be up there from the 7th for a week, and we usually get together with Gus and Jan, and Charlene wants to, you know, cook a meal, and love for you and Tony, if you can, to get together and join us, because I really don't know you. I haven't had a chance to meet you like I did Tony. I'm sure you're just as nice as he is, maybe even nicer.
Thank you.
All right, so we'll arrange that later. We shouldn't have done that on the air probably, but I couldn't resist. So we'll be right back, and then we'll get some more calls. So
you're listening to Dave Nathani, the Caregiver's Caregiver, on Blog Talk Radio, where each week we talk about surviving the grief process and avoiding caregiver burnout. We'll be right back.
Life is not just food, sleep, and toothpaste. It's a series of choices, both work and play, practical and impractical. Basketball practice or piano lessons, asparagus or French fries. And sometimes you have to compromise with sensible shoes, wash and wear, and beige. Life is changing. We're changing too. We think you deserve quality, whether it's at a table, a desk, a car seat, or the pool, the stuff you need to live and the stuff that makes life worth living. Not just ingredients for meals, ingredients for life. Safeway.
With DirecTV pay-per-view, you always have the best seats in the house. No driving, no lines, no hassle, just a huge selection of today's top movies, ready at the push of a button. The hottest stars, the latest releases. Order DirecTV pay-per-view, starting at channel 125. DirecTV pay-per-view, always the best seats in the house.
Welcome back to Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, Avoiding Burnout and Surviving Grief with Dave Nassani on Blog Talk Radio. The whole purpose of this show is to help support you in your caregiving responsibilities so that you don't burn out, because your loved ones are counting on you. Join Dave and his guests now as they resume their discussion.
Okay, we're back. Can you hear me, Tony? Do I have the right
yes,
one?
Yes, I can.
Oh, good.
Yes, you do.
See, I wish the names would come up here. All I see is phone numbers, and now I see phone numbers, and I'm wondering, are these the same ones that I spoke with already? But any comments or observations thus far before we go to our next caller, Tony or Jan or Gus?
Comments or observations? I'll just say it's great that you got this whole thing going on.
Really?
Yeah,
you do. Nice.
Do a good job. I'm surprised. Well,
but you called me a rookie a few minutes ago.
Well, you are. But you are. But you're good for a rookie.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes rookies are pretty good, aren't they, Gus?
Yeah.
They don't strike out. Yeah. Hey, believe me, no one is more surprised than me, you know. If you asked me 2 months ago I was going to be doing this, I'd say you're crazy. But it's just kind of something that just happened, and I give God all the credit and all the glory. I didn't know I had a talent. I didn't know I had a radio voice. I didn't know I had an audience. But go figure.
Yeah, you never know.
So
God will
you know, we're
guiding direct.
Absolutely, and we're hopeful. You know, this is global radio, so I mean we're talking to the world here. So. As I'm writing my third book, you know, I'm sure the publishers and the literary agents are interested. Well, who's going to buy your book, Mr. Nassani? Well, I have a radio show, and I guess 50,000 people listen to it. I don't know. That's what they tell me. But anyway, let's see.
When we have time, I would love to read the other poem that I wrote to my mom.
You know,
the first
let's do that now. I'm glad you reminded me. I had it on my screen, and I keep forgetting. Do you want to read it, or do you want me to read it?
Read it?
I think the poet who wrote it should read it. Oh, that almost sounds like poetic. I'm a poet, too.
Yeah, you know, I wrote this 2 years ago for Mother's Day. The one that you referred to with the accident and everything, I just actually wrote for this Mother's Day. But this was two years ago when we, you know, she was 2 years into this, and I just felt like this would be a really nice gift to give my mom. And I have never been a writer or a poet, and yet, you know, there was a season where I probably wrote about seven things, and they just all came to me and flowed, and this is what I wrote to my mom, May 11th, 2012, and it's called My Mom, Second to None. And here goes. Ready?
Go right ahead.
Okay.
I can hear you.
Okay. All right. Tenacious, tenacious, tenacious is all that I can say. When it comes to this woman, she never runs away. Her strength is to be admired. Her suffering has been great. Yet her testimony continues on as she bravely responds to her fate. Ovarian cancer is deadly. She is in the fight for her final days. But you would never guess it by how she lives. She seizes life today. Her attitude is amazing. She endures pain every day. Yet she continues to serve dad, family, and friends, and wouldn't have it any other way. Always caring about others, she plans dinner parties to the max. She even serves on a board, writes a newsletter, and that's a matter of fact. She creates family pictorial memory books and gives them to each one, so that these precious family memories will never be undone. She has the energy of 10 women and a soul as big as they come, but please don't get in her way or you surely will succumb.
She is one feisty, strong woman, but truly has a heart of gold. She will be the first one to listen and give support so that you will never fold. She is quietly generous, but you would never know up front, but she secretly gives plenty so that others live with much. Her faith is rock solid. It is deep and forever true. She still gives thanks to God above when others might instead be blue. A serious car accident never stopped her in her wake. The doc said that she would never walk again, but that was a big mistake. The doc also said she would lose her baby, that he wouldn't get no, but she trusted God on this one, and I'm that baby to show. Even lung cancer tried to nail her down, but after surgery she roared back stronger, and I never even saw a frown. But now she endures ovarian cancers, the side effects and all. How much can a person take, yet her spirit shines so tall? Her love for Dad is evident, 57 years marriage, wow, which is now 59. Their romance just keeps on giving. Their love is in the now.
You have to find a new word that rhymes nine, though.
Her legacy can't be denied. Her example so new, daily so new. Her children and grandchildren so blessed by her love, which is forever true. She is always a phone call away, and her friendship is so dear. It's her voice on the other end that I always want to hear. I'm not sure how long she will be with us to enjoy forevermore, but we have eternity to look forward to, our blessed hope for sure. She is one incredible lady. I'm blessed to call her mom. I'll love her for all her days because she is wonderfully second to none. And I said, Happy Mother's Day, Mom, I love you. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Proverbs 31:31. And that's
wow.
The poem.
And you know, she is the Proverbs 31 woman. I can't think of a better, other than my wife, of course, better example. But
there you go.
Jan, I feel like we're roasting you today. We're just telling you how great you are. People shouldn't wait for funerals to honor people. They should do it while they're alive, you know. And
I agree.
This podcast is being recorded forever on the internet for everyone to listen to, including you guys. So I am so grateful that I could have a part in this. It just popped into my head, you got to interview Jan. And I didn't even know you were sick or going to the hospital or having another struggle with this. We were supposed to go meet you in Ventura next week, you know. But God has his timing perfect, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Okay. Tony, that was amazing. I'm impressed. I mean, I try to write poetry, and it's very difficult. And so I think you should pursue that, actually.
Okay.
Now you are writing a book, right? Let's talk about you for a second.
Well, yeah, I am writing a book. It's in the works. There's a lot to consider because of the weight of the whole thing. But the whole thing was really motivated by a spiritual experience that I had. I had a very difficult time in my life, and the Lord kind of gave me a gift. And so I had that experience, and I didn't know how much I should share or what I should not share, and because in light of everything, you know, it was pretty deep and pretty serious and pretty pretty real for me, and I passed out and actually was transported to a whole another thing, another place, another realm, and God gave me that gift because he wanted basically let me know that he wasn't finished with my life and that he wanted me to go forward. So, you know, and my whole journey was been tough. That was a gift that he's given to me, and I'm going to try to articulate it or at least put it on paper to see where it goes. But it's really motivated for my mom. It's a drive, her tenacity. It's the book so far, who knows what the name will be called when I'm done with it, but it's a never give up. Light between a rock and a hard place. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm at. Yeah.
That's amazing. And Jan, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I think you need to write a book too, because you have got an amazing story.
Thank you.
Well, part of that the book that I'm writing is really that her telling me that there's a reason you're here, the reason I'm here, and God has that. You know, when you grow up hearing that, you know, you say, well, maybe God has a plan for me here, and you know, and certainly my mom's, you know, she should write a book after all she's gone through. I mean, she really has faced extreme challenges in her life, and yet she, you know, continues to shine. And even, you know, it was very difficult waking up this morning and hearing her in the kind of pain that she was. You would never guess now her talking on the radio show. But that kind of pain, you know, is tough. You don't know what to do. You pray, and, you know, God, you pray, but God doesn't instantly, you know, heal her on the spot. So, you know, she has to endure through it, and yet she's still shining brightly even through it all, and she's an amazing woman.
I'm grateful, Jan, that you're in less pain right now, and I'm grateful for morphine, because when I had broken my arm in the hospital in two places from an automobile accident, an airbag exploded, and it threw my arm into the windshield, and I needed morphine badly. And it's a great blessing from God if you use it for the right purposes. So just grateful for that. So what should we do next? Yes.
Yes. I'll tell you what. I'm really thankful just knowing you in Christ. And I want to tell you that I just love what you're doing. And I think it's the greatest thing in the world, how you bring people together. And the things that you do. So thank you for everything.
Gus, I love you so much. I love you just like a dad. And I am so grateful that you're still on this earth with us and that you can still have a conversation with us. You know, life is so precious, you know, and we have to just wake up in the morning. I mean, we got to get complaining out of our psyche, out of our mouth, out of our mind. You know, I try every morning, and I haven't succeeded yet, but I try never to criticize, condemn, or complain. And I just have to complaining because my wife doesn't listen to me anyway. She looks at me and goes, try living in this body for 24 hours, buddy. Don't let me hear you complain about your ankle hurts. Give me a break. You know, now she doesn't say that because she can't speak, but she can communicate that in volumes with her body language and her looks and her eyes and her tonality. So, I mean, Charlene has no trouble communicating. She just has a little trouble speaking words. I think some famous person said, communicate the gospel and sometimes use words. I don't know who that was, but it was very profound, I thought. Gus, thank you so much. I love you. And I love Jan, and I'm so looking forward to seeing you next week when we're on vacation in Ventura. And Tony, I'm looking forward to reading your book when you write it. I know it's going to be the perfect book because you're seeking God's wisdom in what to say and what not to say and how to say it. And, you know, that's how you get a great book, because God has to write it. And, you know, we try not to pollute it with our carnality. And so it's like all of you, Lord, and none of me.
Yeah.
So I just love your family. And Christy as well. Is she still there or did she drive away?
Who's that? It's Christy, actually drove off. Yeah.
Cool. Well, it was so good hearing from her. Is there anything else as we wrap this up? We've got 9 minutes. I think
go ahead. My mom wants to share.
I just wanted to say that when I met Gus for the first time, it was like a storybook dating. They say you should never. Arnie Peterson. I don't know if you remember him, but he's the one that invented the stroller that folded. Well, he said...
The Peterson baby stroller.
Right. He said you should never marry anyone unless you can't. Your thinking is, I can't live without them. Mm. And
My mother put every roadblock she could in front of me to not date Gus. And
really?
I loved him. Yes, yes. Even put scripture verses and hell by my bed when I would come home at night telling me I was going to go to hell if I married him. Took
my
car away. So because Gus didn't have a car back in Pennsylvania, the town's very small, and he could get around without a car. His whole family never owned a car. And so I had a car. And so my mother took the car away so we wouldn't have a car to go out on a date. But buses and taxis did very well. And so I did, Gus walked many a time from North Hollywood to Burbank to see me on a date. And so one time before he was to pick me up, my mother told me, "You stay in the bedroom." And she answered the door when he arrived and said, "What are your intentions with my daughter?" So he told her he loved me and that he would like to marry me. And I always told him, I says, "Mom, when you get to know him, you would love him. He's very, very sweet and loving." I was from an English family, and we're very staunch people and not really affectionate. And Italian people are very affectionate. And so that was a whole different learning experience for me to learn to be affectionate and tell another you love them. And so he did tell her that, and it was true. Once she got to know him, you would think she picked him out for me. And by the time we got married, she did love him. But he's always been, to this day, a very, very loving person. Now, talk about strokes. I'm sure not all people are the same, but it did change his personality a little bit. And he wasn't always the loving person. I got a lot of dirty looks, which he doesn't think he gives me, but he does. And not that I don't deserve them, but... but
you're a riot.
But that wasn't Gus that I had known all these years until he had his stroke. And... So that was another learning as a caregiver, and then he cried all the time after he had a stroke. I mean, happiness, sadness, mad. It didn't matter what it was, he cried. So I finally took him to the doctor, and found out that is a side effect of strokes.
Yeah.
And he put him on a medication, and it worked wonders. He stopped all of this crying all the time.
Antidepressant?
An antidepressant.
Yes. And so many people, you know, talk bad about antidepressants, even Christians, you know, they say, "Oh, no, it's a drug. I don't want to do." But you know what? After Charlene's stroke, you know, she needed something. And depression is one of the signs of grief. And if you don't control it, you know, a lot of suicides come from depression. And our neurologist told us that the suicide rate is very high among post-stroke people. Men, by choice, use a gun, and women, by choice, use pills. And so he recommended that she go on Zoloft. And it really worked. It took the edge off. It doesn't make you feel groggy or dopey. It just replaces the chemical imbalance in your brain. And I'm so thankful that God made antidepressants. And then one day, if necessary, you feel like, you know, it's time to get off of them, then get off of them. But if you need them, you should be on them if there's a chemical imbalance in the brain. But, yes, I wholeheartedly agree.
Yes. Yeah, well, he became his old self again with that. And I did press him. So I was so thankful. But he went 4 years without him until he got this new new doctor. And this new doctor said, "I cannot believe your doctor didn't recommend this before now." So it was wonderful when he went on that. And you know, he just he taught me how to love. Like I said, we didn't hold hands in my family. We didn't hug and kiss. And so Gus taught me all of that, to do that, and pass that on to our children. And that it is okay to be affectionate and to tell each other you love. Because you never know from one minute to the next your day's going to be. And so you're so happy that you did do this before something bad would happen to you. So
thank you so much for sharing that. Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes, I'm very, very, very happy. We'll be married 3 years this November. And I'm very happy that God brought him out to California.
60, did you say? 6-0?
Yes, 6-0.
Wow.
This November, around Thanksgiving. It's always around Thanksgiving.
Wow.
So,
I just love you guys so much. And thank you so much for agreeing to come on the show. You know, especially with what today had brought you, you know, in the ER room and then in the car and doctors coming and going and getting discharged. I mean, I'm not surprised that you put up with that, Jan. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay,
you're welcome. You are one of my heroes, and I know I'm not alone in saying that. And we can't wait to see you. Tony, Gus, love you guys. Thank you so much for all you did to make this happen.
Hey, Dave.
Yes. Yes.
I want to say one thing.
What is
back in Pennsylvania, there was a great baseball announcer. His name was Bob Prince of the Pirates.
Really?
I don't know if you ever heard of him. But,
no.
But anyway, you got a great voice, and I'm so glad to hear that you're on the radio and to the people you're reaching. It's great. Just keep it up, Dave.
Thank you, Gus. So many people have told me that I sound so natural and my voice, you know, blends well with the radio. But now that I know that you think I can be a radio sports announcer, I'll look into that occupation. Thank you.
I think you can sing like Carole King. Can you sing that song for us?
I can, actually. I have a singing gig every Tuesday afternoon in Santa Clarita from 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock at the Senior Center. And I sing all the songs of the 30s and the 40s. You guys, that's your era.
That's awesome, Dave.
Tony Bennett, Frank Sinatra, you know, I do it all. And they must like it because, you know, they don't throw food at me while I'm singing. And whenever someone else, you know, asks for the microphone, they say, we like you best, you know. So I'm encouraged, and it's given me a lot of confidence. And I did 6 performances in my church choir a couple of years ago. So, you know, I've got all these new careers. I'm now a speaker, an author, a singer, a radio host. If you'd asked me like a year ago, I'd say, what, me? What, are you crazy? Who are you talking to?
That's awesome, brother.
Thank
you. Talking to me?
You talking to me? Thank you, guys. We will see you soon. And goodbye, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the show. And tune in again next week, every Saturday, 3:30. God bless you.
Thank you, David.
When you're down and troubled and you need some love and care and nothing is going right, all in close your eyes and think of me and soon brighten up even your darkest night. Oh yeah, yeah. You just call out my name and you know wherever I am.
People like this to sing them. Yeah. Like this.